Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, welcome to Crime And. Just a very quick little message from me, Julie J, to say first of all, thank you so much for tuning in again. If you do want to support Crime And, I would really appreciate it if you could rate or review us wherever you listen to your podcast or recommend us to a friend. It is the best way of growing the podcast and building our little community of Crime Landers. Thank you so much to everyone who's done it already. Today's episode, oh, you're in for such a treat. I have Jason Brennan, Kevin Larney of the Shy Talk Irish History Podcast. I knew they were going to be funny, but I didn't expect them to be this funny. They are absolutely gas. They are so funny that after this episode for a full week, I was thinking back on Kevin's final line in today's episode and just lolling to myself in the car. They are absolutely gas. Do check out their podcast if you haven't already. That's the Shy Talk Podcast. And they also have a deadly little comedy club called the Halfpenny Comedy Club. And if you are in Dublin city centre, do check it out. They run that 3 nights a week. Very quick disclaimer as ever that today's episode does contain themes which some listeners may find distressing, and we always strive to discuss these topics in a human and empathetic way. And without further ado, here's your episode. Enjoy! My name is Julie J, and this week, I cannot believe it, but I'm talking to the brilliant...
Shy Talk History. I'm Jason Brennan.
And I'm Kevin Larney. That was, what way did you say the name of the show there?
Shy Talk History, which is, I guess, is not the name. No, it's Shy Talk, an Irish history podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask you guys, because I was confused about the name. It was giving me P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, all that kind of vibes.
We tried to rebrand, but without actually doing any work. So we just started calling it a short version.
So what do you go as now?
Officially, it's still Shy Talk : an Irish history podcast.
Okay.
But we always just write it as Shy Talk History.
I've realized we shouldn't put colon in the same sentence.
I was going to say colon, too much. I know. Just thinking colonoscopy.
I know.
Yeah, and when Shy begins the name, it's too much.
But we were just saying there before and how we would introduce it. We've gotten used to the idea now that, like, you know, someday your name will be up in lights, kids. We realize that anytime our name is on a poster, it's just Shy Talk. If we have a guest, the guest name is up in big lights. And then, like, we're doing a gig in the Wild Duck. That was the last gig we did. And it was all up on a big sandwich board and it looked great. And, like, the guest's name, Donald Fallon, was up in lights. And it just said Shy Talk. We're like, yeah, That's us.
We
that's,
made it.
But I think, but it's, but you know what? Honestly, though, as a brand, I think it's a genius name for a podcast.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
Yeah,
it's,
it hadn't been taken yet somehow with all the Irish podcasts out there. Yeah.
It's, there's about three or four of them now, though.
Yeah.
And because I was going to say, there seems to be offshoots. Like people are now calling themselves Shy Talk, but you're like, The OG.
The original
Shy Talkers. And it is such a brilliant podcast because you guys, it's history.
It is history.
Somewhat.
I like Jason's to, like, hang on a minute.
Just,
okay?
I like to cover it's my not, bases in case, because people come back to us and they're like, you got this wrong. I'm like, well, the name is Shy Talk.
It's anything to do with Irish culture, because we've gone back as far as, I don't know what the oldest one we've done yet. Maybe, we did like a series on the 1690 war to explain the 12th of July, which just happened yesterday in recording. But then the one you're most excited about writing at the minute is
Saipan. It's the 20-year anniversary of Roy Keane leaving the World Cup.
Amazing.
So, we've got good episodes and then Saipan.
Now, I'm scared to ask this, but like, okay, age-wise, so how old were you when Saipan happened?
Oh, I was, what's that? Nine, turning 10.
Okay. Okay, same. So I was around the same age myself. No, I was a lot older. I just remember Roy and the Golden Retriever.
Yeah, all the walks and the interviews. Yeah.
That was hard. I mean,
I'm
listen.
I think of his name. Was it Champ or what was he? He always had a red ball he would throw to him.
And he's, I mean, even the guide dogs for the blind. Like, Roy, that poster.
Mm. I was a soft side to Keane, and I'm going to
uncover it.
I haven't decided which way I'm going to come down on the whole Saipan thing,
well,
but I know in my heart.
All I'm saying is, okay, right, guys, first of all, Guide Dogs for the Blind, a great charity, we need to support them, but also do purchase the calendar, because Roy Keane has sexed up Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind, I would say, by 2000%.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There's something about Roy, though. Like
with the beard, when he has the full grown beard.
With or without the beard, Jason.
Ah, both, yeah.
He's just, I feel, okay, well, I don't want to give any spoilers. I was going to ask, do you think he was right to leave? But to be continued, I presume.
That part's going to be behind the Patreon.
We're going to write our answers down on a slip of paper and then hide them from each other.
You're paywalling that shit.
Oh, yes, okay. For sure. I mean, the good stuff.
Put all the
history that no one cares about, that's for free. The Saipan stuff, that you gotta pay for that.
But I have to say, and no offense to, you know, I have had some brilliant guests in this podcast, but Fred was very excited about you guys coming on. He's a big fan.
Well, that's very sweet. Thank you, Fred. Does he listen to your show?
No, probably, Fred isn't into true crime, so he's done a few crime. And so when people cancel at me last minute, I say to Fred, would you mind doing it? And he's such, I love you, Fred, but like, he's not a great guest because he just says things like, that's so sad. And then, you know, you say so anyway, and then he went to jail and Fred's like, and that's the end. I'm like, well, yes. Because she's dead. And Fred's just like,
what sort of a story is this at all?
And he says to me, I don't think this is good for you. He said that to me the other night, and I was like, you don't know me. Anyway, okay, let's start the podcast right now. Okay, the podcast has started. We're on the clock. It's okay, right, okay. Did I say what we're talking about?
No, we've no idea.
I didn't say about. Okay, so we intro and then I say about. Okay, so I'm talking to the wonderful Jason and Kevin today about the Somerton Man. Okay, so this is an unsolved Australian mystery.
Unsolved so far.
So far.
We've got time now.
But listen, I think we'll have to paywall it, surely.
That's true.
Yeah, true. We'll solve it and put that behind.
I think it's 7.
Okay.
We'll make the Australian cops pay for it.
Okay, so listen. We're not just pulling this out of our arse here. We've used some sources. I have this very reputable website, which I use a lot. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's called Wikipedia.
I get a lot of Irish content from that as well.
Do you?
Yeah, I find it very resourceful.
Really, really
never
good.
Never donated.
Yeah, bit of Reuters there. I've also used an article from The Lineup, which is a great website. I'm sure you guys have used that a bit.
Is that a sports? What is it?
The lineup. It's kind of a bit of this, bit of that. A lot of true crime on there and a bit of history. Oh, so okay. It might be a good one to dive into.
Whatever Wikipedia fails, we go straight to Lineup then. Next.
And then the main thing I've used here is good old allthatsinteresting.com. And this is an article by John Krosky. So I mainly used an article by John Kurowski, who writes a lot on there, and he's absolutely brilliant. So I'm going to dive right in, guys, if that's okay. Okay. So on the 30th of November 1948, in the evening time, a number of people noticed a man propped up against a concrete wall on Somerton Beach, which is near Adelaide in Australia. I don't know, have you guys done the whole Australia thing? Was that a real noughties thing to do?
No, I was there in 2019, just before. Remember when Australia was on fire?
Yes.
I was there for that, and I was like, oh, the front row seat to what will surely be the most talked about event of 2020. I came back 2 months later, it was COVID. But I was in Adelaide. I was in Melbourne mostly. I made it to Adelaide for maybe a day or two.
Okay. Do you feel bad about starting the fire?
Listen, I was having a cigarette and trying to just throw it at a squirrel that I thought might be endangered. And they should have better fire systems. It's not as if it hasn't happened before.
Yeah, look, I mean, yeah.
Is it my fault that the entire city of Sydney was covered in smog for 3 months?
How are you to know? Yes. I know, actually, that's gas. That was 2019.
Yeah,
feels like
December,
a million years ago.
People weren't even talking about it 3 months later.
It's gas because it's funny, isn't it? Like 2020, we thought, do you remember Cats, the movie? Do you remember that movie? We thought that was the worst thing that was going to happen. Oh, little did we know. Anyway, so this man, right, is a group.
So he's propped against a wall.
He's kind of, you know, propped against a wall on the beach. And his legs were kind of outstretched and his feet were crossed over in what gave him the semblance of a very relaxed position. It was a really bizarre scene, and the group he found, the group that found him were really struck by kind of how strange his appearance was, because he was dressed very formally. So he's on the beach, but he's got a full suit, polished shoes. And it's like, kind of, obviously, it's not something you'd expect.
No one
on
in Australia
in
had ever
evening.
Seen a suit before. They're awful long shorts. What's happening
here? I know,
here?
But he's not wearing thongs. Something's up. So his toes were covered. So straight away, Australians, they're on high alert, aren't they? Yeah. So one couple said later that they thought he was kind of raising his arm, and they presumed he was drunk. And he was trying to light a cigarette. Man after your own heart, Kevin.
Yeah. Drunk, lighting a cigarette. if you ditch the suit, there goes me, you know. Leaning against things, classic.
I think this was Kevin. Okay, so another said that they recall seeing Musky.
Just to get ahead of it, I do have a strong alibi for 1948. I was... I'm pretty sure you can't pin this on me.
We get it, Kevin. You're young, okay? Jesus, smoke or what? My God. Anyway, another recalls seeing mosquitoes buzzing around his face and thinking that he was just too drunk to wave them away. They each believed that the man had too much to drink, when in fact, Jason, he was in fact dying.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, I know. You didn't see that coming now at all.
But you're just doing the Fred lines.
Is that the end?
Excuse me. Okay, it's over. Very sad. Goodbye. A pair of amateur jockeys. Okay, so they weren't pros, Jason. Okay. They weren't professional jockeys. I'm not sure what difference that makes to the story. But anyway, they're jockeys. Okay, so because they're jockeys, they're on
horses. Ketamine. Oh, sorry.
You should have been working this case.
I love when they leave irrelevant bits of information in that. Like, it's like, he was an amateur jockey. Just let him have his moment. Like,
come
there's no
on.
Need. Come on.
Oh.
Are we talking about, like, 80 years later? We're still like, he wasn't in the pros.
He could have gone pro, but he just couldn't get
he
the weight
couldn't.
Down.
He was 6 foot tall.
Sorry, Kevin, a man is dead. Have some respect.
I'm we don't know he's dead yet.
No, we
oh,
do.
Sorry. Well, dying. Okay.
Dying. Well, he's probably dead.
Spoiler alert. So they come along and they discover that he is in fact dead, and they notify the police. Now, an initial inspection of the Somerton man, as he came to be known, revealed no obvious cause of death. He had not been stabbed, shot, or he didn't seem to be injured at all. So they find this dead body and there's no obvious sign what happened.
Yeah.
He had boxer shorts on and a vest, and he had a white shirt and a thin red tie.
I think
Kevin?
I've heard this story. We do this thing where
Jason,
like
is this familiar to you?
No, I've never heard it.
Okay.
So we'll ignore Kevin for a while.
And do you know what? It's hard to know because Jason is like Gaiety School of Acting, so maybe he has heard of it.
He's
stone faced.
He's
convincing.
A professional. He wouldn't jump across the middle of the show to reveal what's going to happen.
It's over. So he had boxer shorts, a white vest. Again, why we need to know it's. I mean, vests are generally white.
That's true.
That's true.
Maybe like, not the back
I don't
then.
Know why he's wearing one in Australia.
Yeah.
A vest? Would you not wear a vest?
It's too hot. All those layers.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Right. Like, what is it? Like 28 degrees here now and we're dying.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm dead. Yeah. I really am. Well, I mean, not literally dead. Like this man. Yeah. So he had light brown trousers, a brown sweater and a brown double-breasted coat. So a lot of brown. His shoes were polished. One of his pants pockets was repaired with an unusual type of orange thread.
Mm.
So the police went looking in his pockets because they're police.
That's what happens.
That's the
not
first
because
place
they're Australians and that's just what they do to dead bodies. No.
No.
Just they're professional officers of the law.
They're looking for clues. They went into the pockets and they found a train ticket to Henley Beach, a bus ticket to North Glen Elg, an American metal comb, a packet of Juicy Fruit chewing gum, a packet of Army Club cigarettes containing a different brand of cigarettes. So they thought that was weird. So the packet... It didn't like it was like they put they
didn't
had put different it didn't match the cigarettes which yeah. I mean you Kevin you are our resident
I've
smoker.
Been hanging on to the same box of Amberleaf since 2009. I just get new cigarettes, put them in. They should I'm not carrying around that black package they have now with the lungs on it.
Oh, yeah.
Is this just the cigarette version of like when you see a lad on the bus and he has a Joyce novel in front of him, but on the inside it's just Nuts magazine.
Which is much bigger than the Ulysses.
Inside, the actual cigarettes are like children's cigarettes.
Yes. Oh my. Well,
the sweets.
You might know him. I won't give his name away, but he buys very fancy looking cigarettes and he's been smoking them in front of us for months, never shares them. And then we were drunk there on Saturday and he finally gave us one. They're children's cigarettes.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. The tips are like candy.
Laced with sugar. You have to lick your lips afterwards and it's sweet.
And he always looks so cool because it's like brown wrap cigarettes and so mysterious. It's like it's like what they get children hooked on cigarettes with.
James Cadden strikes again. Okay. That's gas. So, yes, weird about the cigarettes. A hanky, which wouldn't be that strange, especially 1948, and a packet of Bryant and May matches. The man was very physically fit. He had an athletic build and he seemed to be in his 40s or 50s. Weirdly, his toes were disfigured, which would suggest that they'd been shoved into tight shoes. So people thought maybe he might have been a dancer.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah.
So this is why he isn't wearing tongs.
Yes. Do you know what? This is why. I mean, Irish people, our toes are in bits, aren't they? What are your toes like?
Yeah, not. I was living in Texas there for the last 4 years, so it was like sandals all the time. So my toes are recovering now.
Okay, yeah. You've got recovered toes, Kevin.
Mine are bad. Whenever I can, I go barefoot. I drove around in a van. I was barefoot for about 6 months. Never needed shoes.
Hey, we keep complaining about it in the house, but he won't stop.
I will not stop, no.
So who has worse toes then?
Probably mine. I play a lot of football and do kickboxing, so I've broken a good few of them.
Oh, okay. So they're a bit wonky?
Nails are all in bits. They're all black and blue and half shattered.
Jason.
I know, I have to take better care of them.
Do you know, the toes, my toes are, I really hate my toes. Like, I got my nails done there the other day and like the girl was all chat when she was doing the hands all about me. And then when we went to the toes, like the chat stopped. She was like, but I took the sock off. The chat was gone. She was definitely allergic to me when she saw that. I mean, I just have terrible toes. And it's just because they're tiny.
Well, it's because we're always wearing like football socks and boots.
No.
I'm just like this man with my double-breasted coats.
You really are. But you know what? I like that you dressed up for the podcast. I think that's important. You know, dress for the job you want.
Exactly,
as they say.
Yeah.
So they think maybe he was a dancer because of the toe situation. Stroke could have been Irish because obviously we've established we have bad toes. Mm-hmm. A really odd part of the story is that strangely the tags and labels of his clothes have been cut off.
Gasp.
Investigators found absolutely no money, no wallet or ID. So he has nothing to tell them who he is as such. At the Royal Adelaide Hospital, Dr. John Barclay Bennett guessed that that really kind of undermines his
he strolled in, stole one of the cigarettes, was like, I'd say it's probably a man if I had to get have a shot in the dark.
So he estimated, estimated that the time of his death was around 2 a.m. The attending pathologist.
That looks like a 2E to me. All right.
I'd say 2.
I'd say 2:30.
Yeah, he's definitely dead.
I think he's dead. Okay. Terrible.
He's dead.
The attending pathologist, John Matthew Dwyer, determined that the body had not been moved after death. Dwyer also noticed that there were a couple of things that didn't add up. So his pupils seemed small and unusually shaped. The Somerton man also had blood in his stomach, which suggested that maybe there was some poison involved. But again, they did tests on this to see could they find the poison, and they found absolutely no poison in his blood.
Yeah.
So the blood in the stomach would suggest poison, but then there was no poison in his blood. This led some investigators to believe that maybe he had digested digitalis and strophanthin, two lethal poisons that don't leave a trace.
It's like Breaking Bad.
Yes. Yeah. Spoiler alert, Breaking Bad.
It's too late now. I'm not going to give away Better Call Saul, but Breaking Bad, have at it.
Do you know, someone said to me recently, I was talking about the ending of The Sopranos, and she was like, don't tell me. I was like, come on.
I know. Well, I'm watching it.
Two decades.
They forget to film the whole last bit of it.
They still couldn't. I get it. Sure, it cut out on the night, but surely someone's got the footage.
So they also took fingerprints, but they still came up with nothing. Neither the FBI in the United States or Scotland Yard in the
England, the UK.
Like, you can tell I was a really good, I mean, moon tour alert. Of course, over here.
Yeah. That you throw it to us and we were like, FBI.
In the UK had fingerprints on file.
Scotland Yard, not in Scotland.
He just found that out last week.
Very recently.
Really?
Yeah. The Irish blew up the original one.
No way.
Yeah. I can't remember who. Yeah, we invented Scotland Yard.
We loved blowing stuff up, didn't we?
We do not get enough credit for inventing terrorism.
But you know what? I feel... Were we good at it? I'm not sure.
We were. We were polite about it.
So good.
We were which, Jason?
Polite.
Polite.
We would phone ahead, and that's kind of the...
Listen, I'm sorry to bother you. I know, but there is a bomb in the building, so you're gonna have to leave. I know it's a Friday, though. We give you that. We always left a bomb at like 11 on a Friday. Off a bank holiday weekend, you're fucking laughing. Yeah, we're just planting bombs on a Monday.
That makes sense, because I was always wondering why we have different bank holidays from the English, but that does make sense. So the police then, so basically, look, nothing, the fingerprints aren't, you know, they're not coming up with anything there. Yeah. The coroners determined that he had died of heart failure, but they couldn't come up with a cause of death as such. The police then got a lucky break when they found the man's suitcase at Adelaide railway station. It contained the exact same unusual orange thread sewn into his pants and some clothing labelled T. Keen, and then they had K-E-A-N-E and also K-E-A-N. But once again, this was a clue that went nowhere. The most unbelievable clue of all, however, came several months later.
Well, sorry, so just when he's at the train station, does that add up with the bus ticket and the train ticket? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so they felt, it would have been like on, so he got like the ticket to Henley Beach.
Yeah.
And it would have been on route to Henley Beach, this railway station. So it did kind of add up from that point of view, but it didn't give them any clues as to who he was.
Yeah.
So the most unbelievable clue of all, however, came several months later. The police went back to search his possessions and they found like a small pocket sewn into the waistband of his pants. And in that tiny little pocket, they found a folded piece of paper that read, "Tamam Shud," Persian for "it's finished" or "it's ended."
Is that the end?
No. Paywall. Paywall for the rest.
Part two.
The words were written
in... Give us that again.
So, the tiny little pocket in the waistband of his pants.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in that tiny little pocket, they found a folded piece of paper that read, "Tamam Shud," which is Persian for "it's finished" or "it's ended." The words were written in a distinctive font.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was the whole note. That was a "Tamam Shud" in Persian.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, to mother, yes.
Because I do have a couple of colons in here, but I just think after the start, I didn't really want to say colon again. Do you know what I mean? It's ad nauseum.
The note is Persian for it's
two
ended.
Words. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So the two words, tamam shud.
Yeah.
So that's Persian.
Yeah, it just means it's ended.
And it means it's ended.
But so he didn't write it then, obviously.
Well, this is the thing. So it's from a book. So it was like, it was obviously, it had been ripped out of a book. So it was a distinctive font and it had been torn from a rare New Zealand edition of the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, which was a 12th century work of poetry. So it was this poetry book and it had been ripped out from this rare edition. Police searched far and wide for the copy of the book that matched the distinctive font from this little piece of paper they found. They couldn't find it anywhere, but then a man comes to the police station.
Typical.
So it's always some man.
Bloody men.
Ugh.
Explaining all about it. I killed him. It
was me. You got me. I didn't think he'd look in the pants. So basically he goes to the station and obviously the first thing they do is they go to the last page because they know this was like from the last page of the book. Yeah. And they find that the last page had been ripped out.
Ooh.
So they're really delighted with this. They're getting excited. But then the man's story as to how he got this book just gave rise to more questions than answers. So he said that the previous year, the year before, himself and his brother-in-law had gone to the beach and they parked up the car, as you do.
Yeah.
They went back to the car and his brother-in-law spotted a copy of this book on the floor of the car. So in other words, somebody had gone into the car and left this book on the floor.
Book thing makes me think it's like the Da Vinci Code. Remember when people used to just, they'd finish it and leave it in public places for other people to pick up?
Oh.
You'd be raging if you did that and it came back a year later that somebody
This bloody book.
He ruined it for everyone, only ripping bits out of it and getting himself murdered.
Well, do you know, recently,
I can't tell if it's over or not.
Recently, somebody came to me, met me for coffee with the book and said, I think you'd really enjoy this book. And I was like, this is the book I lent you. But you know when people do that, I just found this amazing peanut for you. And they put it up on Instagram. And I'm like, I gave you that peanut for you. Like,
some people.
People.
Yes.
Jesus. Anyway, that is an excellent question, Jason. And
I just want to jump ahead because I don't want to give him any credit for anything. That was my question. Now we're in Moonshore mood.
He's never
asked a question in his
life.
Was
it the year before? What was your man dead at that stage?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ask that, Kevin?
I know we look very similar, Julian. We keep switching seats every time.
Are you messing with me? Because I really thought that was Jason.
No, we end up getting confused quite a lot.
Yeah,
it's we look pretty similar, especially when I'm wearing my glasses. We have the same
and
hair
I'm wearing
and
my hat.
My apologies. So Kevin,
that's okay.
Kevin, great question, and I don't know what this
means.
I'm just
going for the gold star.
But he wasn't dead because it was the month after he had been found dead, and this book was on the floor of the car. So at that point, he wasn't dead. Okay, scratch that. He was dead.
Yeah.
Because it was the following month that this book appeared on the floor
of the car.
Of the car.
And the note's already in his pants.
So the note is already in his pants. So both men, they come back to the car. They don't own this book, but they just presume, okay, it's the other fella's book. They don't ask about it and they drive off.
Classic brothers. If that was two women straight in. Two sisters.
Oh, this book.
Who left the fucking book in the fucking floor?
Why was she leaving it at the floor?
What are you ripping pages out of for?
Obviously then, the national coverage of the story had the whole of Australia gripped, and the men then copped that the book was the one that police were looking for. Inside the book, the detective sergeant, Lionel Lean, found two unlisted phone numbers and faint lines of code. The first phone number was a dead end, but the second phone number led to a young nurse named Jessica Ellen Thompson, who went by the name Jo, who lived on dun-dun-dun... Somerton Beach.
Oh.
So they go to Jo and they show her a plaster cast of the Somerton man's face, and then they said that, which I don't know why.
Why? Is that a common thing?
I don't know, actually.
Have they not heard of photographs?
I was going to say.
Here's a bust that we made.
That only just struck me now. I'm not sure. Anyway, okay. I'm going to double check that. Maybe it was a photo, but I'm fairly sure they said plaster. Why would it be a plaster cast?
It's like a 1948.
Maybe they don't. Australians.
Did they
is that an excuse?
Sure. Questions.
They only had Instagram, but they didn't have cameras yet.
I'm actually going to have to listen to a podcast.
That was some
story.
Man's job, is the thing. That was some man's job.
Yeah,
and they couldn't get rid of
it. It was a union thing. No cameras allowed.
They're just standing around saying, yeah, I think he's dead. Maybe 2 a.m. And then they put on the plaster. Okay.
Yeah.
So they thought, now look, who's to say what you can read from this? The police said that they thought she acted strangely and nearly fainted, but she denied knowing him. Now, that's what that was their reading of it.
Yeah.
But she said, look, I really don't want to talk to you about this. She didn't want to speak to police, but she did eventually admit to having given a copy of the book to a man named Alfred Boxall.
Okay.
So this was a big thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, the police then went off. They found this fella and they said, look, do you have a copy of this book? Because this woman told us that she gave you a copy of this book. And wait for it, he still had the copy.
Oh, he had his copy.
So it gets weirder.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he has his own copy. So they're like, okay. And then obviously, look, at this point, they went to this kind of faint code in the book. They put on the black light. They could make out like a jumble of letters, but they just couldn't crack the code.
Did they only try that at that stage? They did one bit of evidence at a time.
I don't know. Well, maybe it was the same time. Maybe a couple of police went off to chat to your man. Maybe another fella was back at the station with a black light. I'm not quite sure the sequence of events.
Reminds me of my friend in college years ago. Her house got burgled and the guards came down and they were checking it out. And the people who'd robbed the house, they'd sort of trashed the place, and someone had written a number on the wall, a phone number.
Oh my God.
And the guards rang it and it was the guy who'd robbed the house.
What? Shut up!
I don't even know how they rang him. It was like, they were the guards. I don't know how the conversation would have went, but also, what a level of detective just to be standing there. 087. Now hang on a moment. These digits, I recognize this.
Why did he write his number?
This is a lunatic. I don't know. Or maybe one of his mates said it and was like, this would be funny, and if they catch him, it definitely won't connect to me, the guy who lives in his fucking house.
That's like, you know, I watched I'm Crime Land. I was going to say I watched Crime Land. No, Crime Line. Is that still going?
Oh, yeah.
I watched there a few weeks ago. It was absolutely gas. They had footage of these two young fellas robbing a house, but the guy had like the camera in the garden or whatever. So it's kind of Black Hawk Down vibes. Do you know what I mean? It's like night filter or whatever. And it was so funny because, like, basically they'd have to jump over a wall because your man comes home early and, like, your man, like, kind of. breaks his leg or something happens to his legs, and then he's like, Mick, I broke me fallen leg. And they're like, so if you know a Mick and his friend who's walking with a limp, do get in touch. But it's just like world's worst. And I think they still didn't catch them. Like, come on.
There's so many broken leg Micks out there.
A lot of people walking around with sticks. What can I say?
Well, I'm from Carlow, the home of we're already known for one thing now.
Catherine Thomas.
Well, I suppose two things. I mean, Sean O'Brien
been knocked
as well.
Off the top list now.
Yeah, the post office robbery. Yeah. The guy
passed
away in the wheelchair.
But isn't that very sad, though?
It was, but it was also pretty funny.
Stop! No,
it was
I'm
funny.
Drawing the line. That was Carlo.
Yeah, wasn't
it?
Carlo on the map. It's. I've been hearing a lot of. Carlo exists. I forgot that.
Are you the ones with
office? Yeah, we're back. Hashtag Carol Horizon.
All right. So, well, do you know Catherine Thomas? Actually, my dad was in the hospital the night she was born. He saw her the night she was born. Catherine, if you're listening to this, do get in touch with the podcast. So he was a guard in, I think he was in Offaly or Kilkenny.
Okay.
Mm. He was around there, and his partner at the time, he was Catherine's uncle. And he said, well, come on, we'll pop into the hospital.
Just to see
my
what's
niece
going
was
on.
Born. So, I mean, like, my dad probably saw Catherine before her own dad did. Yeah, I don't know.
This wouldn't be a time when, like, men would be anywhere near the hospital.
Actually, do you know what? Now, more than this case, I think me sharing that anecdote, it gives rise to more questions than answers.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is,
do you
want
to come down and see the birth of the niece?
My dad,
I'm kind of thinking about like a nativity scene.
So it was a donkey and
a star is about to be born.
I think she's going to do a travel show.
Quick, a breakfast roll.
Is your father some sort of like celebrity whisperer? He shows up at the hospital. And
you're
gives
the
them,
chosen one.
You can do it.
RT picks you.
The Harry Potter sorting hat.
So look, I don't know. Maybe my dad is Catherine's dad. I don't know. Like something was going on. Anyway, okay. Yeah. So look, they can crack the code. They decide to bury the man, not knowing his identity, on the 14th of June, 1949. So they you know, really...
A fair year.
They get, well, I suppose maybe 6-7 months at that stage, because it was the previous November they had found his body. There are some theories as to what happened. The first theory is that he died by suicide after being rejected by Joe. Some have suggested that Joe, who, remember, was the woman that they went to speak to, and she said, look, the nurse who, you know, she did say, look, I have given this book to someone. You can go talk to him. And then it wasn't the same book. Mm-hmm. But they have suggested that she had a son with the Somerton man, because people said that there were similarities in their appearance. But again, that could just be speculative, you know, as such. And it's kind of, obviously, it's open to...
A well-dressed young man. Absolutely roasting. Please, mommy, can I put on some shorts? No, your toes will be crippled in these leather boots.
He's always leaning against stuff, just like his old man.
They did suggest that. Another theory is that he was, in fact, a spy.
Yes.
Kevin, okay, we know what Kevin is. Why would you think spy?
What? Oh, there's nothing suspicious about a post-World War II well-dressed man with a book of codes and little bits sewn into his pants, mysteriously dying of poison that can't be picked up by the Australian Hospital Service. I don't know. It's because you said fly at the start and I was like, fly rhymes with...
Spy!
There we go.
You cracked the code.
Yes. This is spy written all over.
Well, a lot of people think this, because obviously no one came to claim the body despite publicity around the case. So if the poor man had died of suicide, you would like to believe that someone would come. Also, the fact that he was a dancer, a lot of people said, okay, you know, maybe of a Russian orientation, because, dancing, such a dancing culture in the Soviet Union, etc. Then there was the code.
Yeah. I was going to say, we don't think all Russians are spies.
No, and I thought you were going to say, we don't think all Russians are dancers, okay?
Oh, no, wait, what?
Not all
Hang
of their
on.
Women...
Shots fired, okay? They don't all dance.
Not all of their women pop open to reveal a smaller woman inside. Just some of them.
Just a few. There was the code, and of course the main thing being the fact that all the tags were cut off his clothes, and the poison, the mysterious poison that they couldn't find. Mm-hmm. And also, I suppose what would maybe kind of lend itself to that theory as well was this policeman called Jerry Feltus. He was an Australian policeman. He wrote a book on this case, the only book on this case, and he found someone in 1950, so the following year, who said that they had seen one man carrying another on his shoulder on the night. So this would support some conspiracy theorists who believe the Somerton man was killed due to his role in international espionage. Yes. But ultimately, the case still remains one of the great unsolved mysteries of Australian crime. And when the South Australia coroner published the final results of his investigation, his report concluded with the admission, "I am unable to say who the deceased was. I am unable to say how he died or what was the cause of his death." And that is the story of the Somerton Man.
Damn. Mm.
It's now, a great story, isn't it?
This is an irrelevant point, but what the guy who wrote the book, his name was what, Jerry Feltus?
Yes.
That'd be a great name if he got Me Too'd.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah.
Jerry Feltus. Yes, he did. That's enough now, and on we go.
Somehow they ever got to the end of this crime.
Jerry Feltus. Yes, okay, that's step. That's my name.
It's a cold case now.
I wrote a book about a Somerton Man. But it's a great story.
Jerry Feltus. Oh my god, that is gas. Lads, somebody died. Okay, right.
Lots of people have died in the interim.
Bringing it back. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Mm-hmm. You're gas. You really are. Give us the name of the podcast again.
So it's Shite Talk, an Irish history podcast.
And I cannot emphasize enough, it is a brilliant, like, you're so lovely and you're very humble about it, but it's kind of a big deal, this podcast.
Not at all.
Oh no, it's a real cult hit. Like, if you haven't checked it out, you need to, because it's a great, but I mean, I feel embarrassed even saying that because I feel like you guys are so established, but it's always good to give the shout out.
We're definitely not. We could definitely do it more. Well, if you like this sort of stuff, this is what we'd be doing. If there's any sort of Irish connection, it's the same level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think on the basis of today, you know, like, you're so funny and you're so gas. Thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jason and Kevin.
Thanks for having us, Julie.
Cheers.
Thanks a mil.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.